It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Mets can now be consumed on the MLB app if you buy a package through SNY. I think it's $20 a month and you get every single Met game. And you can access it via MLB. And the problem with the MLB app yesterday, I experienced this not with the Mets, but trying to watch other games, is it was crashing out early. So there were a lot of Met fans who couldn't even get the Met game for the first hour or so. And I realize how many people are trying to cut the cord. And I hate to say this because I've been a cut the cord guy for a while, but I'm starting to think, it finally hit me here in 2025, that if you want to watch as much as you want to watch and you don't want to be ripped off, I think your best option is this little known thing known as cable. I'm serious.
No, but you're right, Evan, because everything is going to start consolidating again. Like Disney, Hulu, and ESPN have like a bundle, which is like, I think about it. I'm like, this is just cable.
It's just cable. it's cable designed in a different way.
Exactly. It's cable without the infrastructure of the cable company.
Yeah.
And so it's these individual companies just doing their own thing.
So it makes you realize, like, maybe you're better off just with cable.
Maybe.
Now, the one streaming service, and I have the streaming service that has everything, is DirecTV Stream. They have everything. SNY, Yes Network, MSG. But if you try to piece it together, like, okay, I'll get the Mets through the MLB app. I'll get all the other New York teams through the Gotham app. But then I need ESPN. So, all right, I got to get the Disney Plus thing.
You end up having everything.
Yeah, you end up having literally everything.
And I'm the jackass that has everything.
Me too.
Every streaming service and cable.
That's why Tiki...
And we never watch cable.
No, I get you. I'm the same way. That's why, like, even tonight, you want to watch the Met game? Apple TV Plus.
Apple TV, which I have.
If you want to watch the Met game tomorrow, you need Fox. So whatever streaming service gives you Fox.
Right.
I've lost count on what that is.
Hulu? No, that's not Hulu.
I don't even know.
I don't even know, to be honest with you.
I honestly have no idea. So it does suck, and I feel for anybody, but I'm really starting to realize that we may just be better off going back to cable. The other thing I'll say about the MLB app crashing, this is not new. If you're a football fan, see, we forget this because it's been a long time. Week one, Sean, cite me on it. Week one,
yep.
YouTube, NFL ticket.
Right.
Did we not have issues in the first hour and a half?
Huge issues.
So
people
this,
are losing their mind.
This
is
a normal
for another sports thing on Netflix. What was that Netflix? I'm forgetting now.
No, it was the fight kept buffering. The Tyson fight.
The
only thing didn't buffer was his butt cheeks, remember?
Right.
That's right.
I remember hearing that. Yeah.
Right.
So the reality is, as much as it sucked yesterday, I'm not defending them. It is very normal that on the first moments of a season, that package just has an issue with it. Because I do remember football having the same problem. So it's not like anyone's immune to it.
But yeah, the problem is you think it's your broadband. You
right.
think it's your internet in your house.
Yeah.
And you're getting mad at whatever your cable system is. You're like, what the hell? And it's really on their side.
Not for nothing, though. First week of football, opening day, that's religious. Maybe it doesn't affect us if you have the cable. But if I was an out-of-town Yankee Met fan yesterday and I can't see the opening first pitches because your app breaks down, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. I agree. It's terrible. Let's go to John in Suffern, New York. How are you, John? Hello, John. John is going once. John is gone. We'll go to Anthony in Harrisburg. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, Ant?
Well, guys, I'd like to start by saying I was not on the cover of the New York Post, and I did not run into Sean in the private equity club. But what I did do yesterday... What I did do yesterday was I was in the Discord Yankees chat with a couple thousand crazy Yankees fans, and we just happened to have the Mets game on during the Soto at-bat. And, of course, Soto struck out, and my fellow Yankee brethren were cheering like we won the World Series. So I said to them, I said, hey, look.
Abject rejoicing.
I said, I said, look, in May, when the Mets come to the Bronx in May and Soto hits two bombs, and I'm not talking cheapies, I'm talking blasts, and he's running around the bases with his finger in the air, and the Mets fans in the stadium going crazy, what are you guys going to do? Now, what do you think my fellow Yankee fans did to me when I said that?
I can't predict them. They're very unpredictable.
They ate me alive.
I believe
they lit me up so bad. Why don't you just go cheer for the Mets? You're a Mets fan. You're a troll. This and that. I mean, it's just they hammer me. So.
Right. I get that sometimes too.
Well, you're a brave guy because I get that too. Like Tommy gets mad at me every once in a while because, as he says, I'm not putting words in your mouth. I don't hate the Yankees enough for his liking.
Yeah, I call you a Yankee sympathizer.
Right. I'm a Yankee sympathizer. So we all deal with this. If you're not extreme enough, like our last caller isn't, you end up getting crushed by your brethren. The reality is, we are going to live in a world where every single day, this is going to be a thing. It may not lead our show every day, but you know who you are as Met fans and Yankee fans, that this kind of back and forth is going to be a thing.
Yeah,
it's not going anywhere. And look, there are going to be nights where we win. Hopefully tonight, Juan goes 4 for 5. And we're going to be now the douchiers who are texting.
And it's weird because of last season where both teams were in the championship series, their respective championship series. It didn't feel like this.
It didn't at all.
This is purely because of Juan Soto.
Yes. Last year, the Met-Yankee diatribe back and forth was very like some of you would do it. Like Tommy's always been like that. So I'm not saying this is new for him. He would do it. I wasn't involved. Most people weren't involved. It was just like, oh yeah, the Yankees are doing well. Oh yeah, the Mets are doing well. Now we're all involved. Like we've all become, whether we like it or not, Tommy Lugauer and Sean Morash.
Welcome.
We're all you now.
We've been waiting forever for you guys to come along. Enjoy.
We're in the mud now.
There will never be peace.
No, the peace is never going to happen.
So maybe if this becomes the new norm, maybe by August, we can stop erasing the words troll and just call it reality.
Yeah. Oh, we're almost there. By May 1st, we may be doing that. Let's go to Dave on the Jersey Shore. What's up, Dave?
How you doing, guys? First of all, before I get to my point, hats off to the Yankees, what a class organization with Brett Cardinal's son at the beginning of the game. And even Joe Buck mentioned Volpe wearing the same number. Then he was lost for words. You know, I started crying like a baby. Yeah, and I'm a Met fan.
That's such a sad situation.
And also Aaron Judge honoring Brett, too, and his son in right field before the game. So, yeah, it was very emotional. It's a tragic loss. And, yes, the Yankees and Aaron Judge and Joe Buck, everybody handled it with class, no doubt.
Definitely. But anyway, my wife is a Yankee fan. I'm a Met fan. They say opposites attract. But you know what? When the Mets aren't playing the Yankees, I'll root for them. You know, my wife will never root for the Mets. But you know, I respect that. You know, that's just my point. But anyway,
but Dave,
pitch.
Dave, did she console you last night?
No. She just put it in my face like those Yankee fans do. But me,
good for her.
Me, I got a lot of love. I really respect the game and I love the game. And you gotta love those new uniforms, Evan. I know you do with the trim, the blue and orange trim on the. Oh, that was awesome. Yeah. And Ed Crane pulled number 7.
Yeah,
you gotta love that.
No, it's part's good. The uniforms look good. I would hope that the results are better and they're not shut out into the ninth inning. But yes, at least they look good doing it. You're right.
Did you see that slider at the last minute when he reached out for it? How it really moved? You got to tip your hat to a pitcher like that.
I don't really want to do that. Actually, I thought it was very far off the plate.
Give haters flowers.
Nah.
Stop being a hater on hater.
Not really.
Sean, did you hear it? I got one in.
You got it. Let's go.
That was good. I choose not to do that in this case. Now, maybe you're right. Look, I've never been in the batter's box, so I don't know what it really looked like if I'm in the batter's box and I got this lefty, too. I mean, it is lefty coming at me, but nah, I really don't want to. And I'll tell you the other thing that annoyed me. Nobody's fault, but I'm just being honest. I got to hear...
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ron Darling and Keith Hernandez talk about every dominant stat Juan Soto has at either facing Josh Hader or his numbers in Houston in general. It almost felt like the ultimate kiss of death as Soto was involved in that at-bat. And then I'm thinking about his hit last year against Hader when he got the hit on opening day. Like, everything about it just felt... Let's go to Chris in Franklin Lake. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm doing great, Yvonne. How's Tiki doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good.
All right. So we have to come to a number that if you catch a ball in your career of going to the game, that you get to actually keep them. Because yesterday was a perfect example. I catch the ball, actually, surprisingly, in my hat. Throws foul ball.
Right.
And everyone's looking at me, and there's young little kids around, and everyone's hooting and hollering. When is my chance? Do I have to go back to being a child? I would like to keep one of these balls.
That's a great question, Chris. Mm. What he is referring to is that when you catch a foul ball at a game, you are going to be publicly shamed unless you give the ball to a kid. If there is a kid in your section, you're going to be publicly shamed that ball has to go to a kid.
Mm.
And here's my perspective on this. First of all, I got my kids with me. I don't want them getting a ball from some stranger. I got to be honest with you. Either they're going to get the ball themselves or I'm going to catch the ball. I don't need someone else giving them a ball. And when they do, it's like an awkward, all right, thank you. I mean, what are you supposed to do?
All right.
So I actually feel bad for the kid and the kid's parents who get said ball because it's
Why
like
do you
a
feel
pity
bad
ball.
For them?
Because if you're me, what are you supposed to do? I don't want my kid getting a ball that way. I think it's disrespectful.
Yeah, but your kid's going to be excited about it.
I understand.
He doesn't care how he gets it.
Well, I think they're wrong. I think they need to learn.
Maybe the parents, mom and dad, are embarrassed by it, but the kid doesn't care.
But I want him to get the ball the old-fashioned way. Like he
yeah,
got
but how
it?
Is he getting it the old-fashioned way when guys, grown men, have gloves or they're just bigger? They can box you out.
Sometimes you don't get stuff in life.
You gotta climb up on the chair and like jump for it? Like, how the hell is a kid getting it by himself unless it lands and scuttles under the seat or something?
Or maybe mommy and daddy get it. But when someone gives it to you, because I feel bad for Chris. Mm. Think about Chris's story. He goes to Yankee opening day. He catches a foul ball. And because there's a kid in his section, he gets shamed until he gives the ball away to a kid?
It's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. That's whoever the kid is with, they're not there on their own. They fight for the ball. If not, life lesson. You don't always get what you want.
That's my point. Mm. That's my point, by the way.
Or always take a ball with you.
Yes, now, pretend it. Right.
Unless you're an absolute pig and you box out kids like that moron who writes the book that everybody kisses the ass of and you get 100
balls
a year.
What's that guy's name again?
I forgot.
He's made it a cottage industry of like catching foul balls and everybody hates him.
Everybody hates him.
Yeah.
Now that's a little too much. Enough's enough at some point.
You are listening to WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York. It's an Odyssey sports station. Chris is calling from Bayshore. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hey guys, how are you?
Good. What's up, dude?
I got a couple of things. First of all, Bad Tiki is probably the funniest segment on radio, any kind of radio. Yeah. It hits it every week. It's just tremendous. Yesterday was great.
Our writer is outstanding.
Writer? It's an actual AI. I mean, what are you talking about?
Mrs. Met really got that seat meat.
I mean, it's great. Even the tone of it, I mean, it's just great. It sounds so real, and the, like you said, the writing is great. It's tremendous. But I had a comment. Like, Yeah, you know, talking about Soto on opening day. I mean, you got two all-stars going at each other, and the count being what it was, and he drops that filthy pitch. I mean, you got to move on. You got to tip your hat. You got to move on. I mean, it's two all-stars battling, and the guy won, and it means absolutely nothing in the scheme of things.
Well, it doesn't mean nothing. They lost a game. I mean, they could miss the playoffs by one game. I mean, think about last year.
And you don't want to get off to that same start that you had a year ago.
No. Yeah,
nobody's fault, but it just is what it is. It was the bullpen's fault, but you know what I mean. 0-5 to start the season.
Yeah.
Felt despondency creeping over the organization.
And if the Mets start 0-5, there will be panic. There's no question. I hope that this start is just reasonable. Give me 3-3 on the road. Mm. And that's being very reasonable because the Miami Marlins, who they play on the back end of this road trip, I was looking at their roster yesterday. Tiki. I'm like, who are half these people? And I love baseball. And I'm like, wait a second. They got a guy pitching this week. I think he's pitching today. His name is Connor Gillespie. My reaction was, Connor Gillespie? That son of a bitch hit a home run off J-Riz Familia in the wild card game in 2016. How did 9 years later him become a pitcher for the Marlins? And I realized it's just a different person. He spells Connor differently, and he spells Gillespie differently.
Is it one N or two?
It's one N. I don't know. That got me confused.
If it's one N, he's Irish. If it's two, it's just it's an American mess up.
I do have good news for Mets fans.
Yes.
Very calm. Take a deep breath. If you start off 0-5, as we know, the best way to end a losing streak is to have your ace go and stop it. And you saw your ace yesterday. Pitched a hell of a game.
Nah, stop with that. It's not our ace.
It's a great job by Clay Holmes.
Don't give me the Clay Holmes trolling.
That's a big time ace.
Not yet.
Did the pitching lamp work yesterday?
Not yet. This is for you as a troller with the Yankees, and it's even for my fellow Mets fans. Clay Holmes was not great yesterday, but it wasn't panic worthy. There was a lot of... You know what that reminded me of? And you guys have to appreciate this as Yankee fans, right? Clay Holmes and a lot of his blown saves would run into some bad luck where there would be command issues and then weak contact that turns into base hits.
Yeah.
That Cam Smith hit that set up the inning where they took the early lead was weak contact and command issues. Like, it wasn't overwhelmingly concerning, and it's one start. So, to Yankee fans... But also to Met fans who already given up on the Clay Holmes experiment, let's take a deep breath.
He wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
I mean, didn't get a quality start. Only went 4 2/3, but it is what it is.
I didn't say he was good, but it's not like
horrible. We gave up 3 runs.
It's not bad, and really the third run was because of that atrocious throw by Acuña.
Well, no, I wouldn't say atrocious. Yeah. He slightly missed his target.
Nah, don't play this game.
What do you mean don't play this game?
It was a horrible throw. No,
The transition was bad. He had a bad transition.
What is going on with him and Acuña? What am I missing?
Are you sleeping with him?
What? Did you see the at-bat he had in the ninth inning?
What does that have to do
That's
with his throw?
That's what's going on.
What does that have to do with his throw? His at-bat was one of the great at-bats you'll ever see. I love his at-bat.
I'll tell you what's going on
here. But the defense gave up. He gave up a run.
Can I tell you what's going on here?
Yeah.
Earlier in the show, you can go back on the app and rewind. You basically said Acuña had a horrible game, and I took offense to that.
No, what I said was he had a horrible game that was saved by his great at-bat.
He had a lot of great plays in the field, including that play.
Jordan.
What?
The play against Jordan?
Where Vientos picked it, he picked it, then Pete picked it, and then there was that hot shot that he had a nice play on where he wasn't even looking, and then he had the great at-bat.
What's going on with you and Acuña? Sean's right. Because this is not like a real conversation.
I publicly endorsed Acuña to
be... I know, but you can call people out when they do something wrong.
You could love them. Still call them out.
But yeah. I could also defend the guy who had a good game.
Wife, but you can do that.
He had a better game than Evan said he did earlier, in my opinion.
Like, what are you going... If he hadn't had that ninth inning at bat, what would you have remembered about the game? You would have remembered the bad throw. That just is what
it is. He gave up a run. I mean, that was an extra run that was thrown away.
Evan is just being overly technical, just like he was with Juan Soto and his strikeout to end the game.
Well, I'm not being overly technical. That was a huge error in the game, Teague. I mean, come on. That's not like a small thing.
I know that. Yeah. But after the ninth inning, you less remember the throwing
100% because the at-bat was so ridiculous.
It was just so good.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So if you're being really critical, you're going to remember the error.
You know what happened with Luis Sandoval?
But if you're going to judge the whole big picture, you're going to say, yeah, but he had an unbelievable at-bat that loaded the bases.
What happened with Acuña is there's a new thing we have to realize with him. There's lights on moments and there's lights off moments, as Francisco taught us. So when he committed the error...
It's funny. It's like exactly what Lindor said.
Exactly. When he committed the error, it was just a game in March. Mm-hmm. Who gives a rat's ass? It's like, okay, it happens. I'm bored. I'm bored by this. It's March. It's the Astros. Who cares? Lights off moment. But when he came up in the ninth against Hader, 2-1, nobody out, down by 3 runs, that's a lights on moment. So there's certain people in this world who are just too cool for school. I'm not good enough to do a show in the middle of January, mm-hmm. but if you give me a show in July, I'm in.
All right, he's trying to play second, like jazz.
Yeah.
Jazz is too cool for school, but he makes the plays.
He does. Luis Angel Acuña has lights off moments and lights on moments. And his credit, he was awesome in the lights on moment.
He made one error last year. So
we're talking about yesterday.
I understand that, but the lights were on last year.
All right, time out.
I think you're a little hard on
him. Hold on. Let's get back to Sean's question.
Okay.
What's going on with him and Acuña?
I believe in him. I think he's an expert.
No, I'm asking Sean.
Oh, Sean. Oh, sorry. I'll leave the room.
I don't know, but of all the things for Tommy to be positive, I don't understand. You could bash a player for a game, for moments, and still love them.
Yeah.
I booed Giancarlo on opening day. I still love that he's a Yankee. And what's going on? I don't understand this.
Are you like? Are you ever going to be able to criticize a player?
It's starting to feel like Daniel Jones syndrome here with him.
Oh.
You
know?
Is that what's going on?
I don't know what that means, but I would say that.
Me neither.
You made reference that he had a bad game. He slightly missed through a ball.
Stop it. He made a terrible throw.
And he had two great plays in the field.
Stop being an apologist. You're being an apologist. That's what Daniel Jones syndrome is, by the way.
Yes. Oh, yes. One of the truthers? Oh, no, that was Zach Wilson. And then there were the Daniel Jones apologists.
Yes. You're going out of your way to make excuses for somebody that you have no reason to make excuses for.
Here's what's beautiful.
I'll remember that when Russell Wilson is 10 for 27.
Week. He's not going to play for the next week anyway, so it's all good.
Well, that was just about to say. Like, this was his one chance to play.
No, he better play because he had a great at-bat in the ninth. Because I just think he's better than Beatty, but I just want him out there more.
Beatty had five home runs in spring training.
So does this mean, I want to get this straight before the season really, really starts. So are you going to be the opposite with Beatty that you are with Acuña? Like, he'll rip a double and you'll kill him and be like, well, you know what?
No, I will not kill him. I do think Acuña is better, though.
All right, that's fine. You know what my opinion is? Whoever's better, just play.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a rat's ass.
Well, at least we know now Positive Tommy goes to the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, too. It works there as well.
All right. Thank you for that.
You don't get the joke.
I do.
What?
Yeah, I get it. Actually, I don't get it.
I'm assuming he's saying
who's Acuña's their AAA team?
He's going to be in Binghamton at some point.
Yeah, Binghamton.
You know what? I'll go back to the food court. Forget it.
All of you guys are wrong, so we'll start over. Their AAA team is no longer in Norfolk, so 0-1 for you,
it's
Tommy.
Not? No. Oh. Is it Binghamton or is
why
it
why wasn't I CC'd on that email?
Happened about a decade ago.
Oh, really?
The AA team is in Binghamton.
Ah, right. Potato.
We'll come back with more of your calls at 888-808-1019. Plus, we examine, was this a troll or was he honoring him? What Joe Buck pulled yesterday during the Yankee game can be construed one way or the other. And Tiki will help fellas figure it out. Was Joe Buck being sweet or was Joe Buck being a douche? And we also heard Joe Buck call a baseball game for the first time in a very long time. And so Joe Buck was on the call. Joe Girardi was there as well. And I noticed something when Austin Wells hit that home run. And I cannot decide if this is Joe Buck being a troll or Joe Buck honoring. Here is his call of the Austin Wells home run.
Here's a 2-0. That is ripped into right, back at the wall. See ya! Home run! What a start. Yankees on top, 1-0.
Now, as you know, Michael Kay does see ya when a Yankee hits a home run. And as you also know, Michael Kay cannot be happy. I wouldn't be happy if I was him.
Well, he's not trademarked to see ya.
No, but that's his home run call.
See ya!
And this game should have been his game, okay? Every Yankee fan, every Met fan wants their announcers on opening day. Met fans are pissed off. We don't have Gary, Keith, and Ron today and tomorrow, but at least we got them for opening day. So we already don't have our announcer, whether you like him or not. He's our announcer. And Joe Buck immediately uses his signature home run call.
See ya!
So you tell me, was that a, hey, I'm honoring you, or was that a troll job?
I think it was an honor. I think he was honoring us.
There was no natty nanny poo poo because you're not here.
But I would have to have a knowledge of a history of beef. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's beef between them. Now, there might be because of the circumstance, meaning Michael Kay's not calling the opening day game, but I think that was an honor.
Well, even if it was an honor, which it may have well been, here's why Joe Buck screwed up his attempt at honoring.
See ya!
I'm listening to the game. I'm watching the game. If you want to honor Michael Kay, after you do the see ya, and trust me, I extended, I listened a little bit longer, say, hey, in honor of Michael Kay, who's, you know, not calling today's game because ESPN has one more year left of baseball and we kicked his ass to the curb. But you didn't even mention him. So you didn't honor him, even if you intended to honor
him. See ya!
Man, I think you might be overreaching a little bit.
No. I want you to hear me again.
Okay.
Even if he was honoring him.
This is like, the troll back.
You're right.
It's a subtle troll back to Yankee fans.
I think it was
by me or by Joe Buck?
By you.
I'm not talking about my troll.
No. You're trying to make it seem like he's trolling Michael Kay. No, but he's honoring Michael
Kay. What I'm telling you is, even if he was honoring Michael Kay, like let's say Joe Buck comes out and says, no, I was honoring him. I'm letting you know that I think he screwed up because without referencing him, most people who watched it takes it as a whole.
I think he was either... He was doing one of two things, and there's three options here: trolling, honoring him, or he didn't think about it.
That just
came out.
By the way, that third thing is actually the worst thing he could do to Michael Kay. If you are so disrespectful to not even pick up that you used this home run call,
see ya.
That's how little he means to him. That's actually the worst. I hope that's not the case.
I don't think it's the case, only because a little inside baseball. Michael Kay was in the house yesterday.
Yeah, I
saw him.
Was he broadcasting
the
game?
He was not, but he. Like everybody getting their credentials yesterday. I'm going to guess that at some point pregame, remember Michael Kay, colleague of Joe Buck, they saw each other.
Yeah.
They probably spoke.
Went up to the booth.
And I'm sure they discussed, not calling opening day. And I'm sure it was a subtle, I don't have to make a big deal about this. I'm going to do this in honor of you, Mike.
Yeah. I think most of the audience took it as a troll.
No.
The
other thing, Met audience took it as a troll.
No, I'm not a Met. I'm an IBO when I'm watching. The other thing I did feel bad about, because I've been a big Joe Buck guy. Like, I like Joe Buck. I thought it didn't work.
What do you mean?
I like Joe Buck. I've always been a fan of his baseball calling. I did not like his presentation. Like, there was something missing. There was something off. It didn't work. It was almost like, all right, it's old timers day. Let's bring back the old timer. And a few innings in, you're like, this isn't what I remember.
Okay. I'm being told by several people online.
Don't care what they say.
That Joe Buck and Michael Kay had a very public interview early in the week.
Still doesn't matter. He
where
him.
They discussed doing Sia on the air.
Well, see ya! Yeah. To 80% of the audience, we think he trolled him. Too bad. He screwed up. Yeah. He should have said
I'm glad my instinct was correct.
Yeah, but he still trolled him.
No, he didn't. They discussed about it.
You guys are not listening to that second part. It doesn't matter if you pre-orchestrate
you know what's happening
it. When
here.
You don't say it on the broadcast, everyone watching takes it as a troll.
The Yankee fan has clear ammunition to throw at the Met fan. Clear.
Well, this Juan has nothing Soto's, to do with being a Met fan.
Juan Soto striking out with two on and the top of the ninth inning, their last at bat available, he strikes out.
What does that have to
Yankee
do with
fans,
this?
Troll Met fans. Now,
I'm the defending Met, the
stop! The Met fan now wants a counter troll.
No,
but there's nothing they can throw on the field because, you know, Austin Wells was outstanding. Carlos Rodon pitches a quality game, 5 1/3, and you get a save. He was a little bit shaky from Devin Williams, but what? You got the job done. 4-2 win. It's awesome. Met fans can't troll, so they got to go someplace else.
But here's what
that someplace
about.
Else happens to be the booth, and you're going to use somebody who's unrelated,
right.
Joe Buck, to any of this conversation to throw the troll at Michael Kay.
Okay. See ya!
We have just found out, thank you, Sean, that they discussed this earlier the week.
Here's where you guys
are
wrong.
No, Evan, there's one more hold on before you do it wrong. Geez. This is just between me and Tiki. You know what else? Evan keeps saying, but everybody in the audience took it as this. Outside of Evan Roberts 10 minutes ago, when the hell have you seen one thing online in any newspaper or anything, Joe Buck trolls Michael Kay?
Oh, I saw it on social media by a lot of people on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, stop. I didn't see that once.
This is why I am not on the site formerly known as.
He's talking out of his rump. Nobody was talking about this.
Oh, no, you're dead wrong about that. I can prove that. But let me get back to this about the trolling.
Go ahead.
Most Yankee fans don't even like Michael Kay. So me, I like Michael. I think Michael's really talented. It's not me. A lot of Yankee fans can't stand
him. Oh, they don't like his broadcast.
Right, so the idea that me talking about this would be a troll is ridiculous. Like, if I wanted to troll, I would troll something about the team, not about a guy who half the fan base doesn't even like.
Mm.
I like Michael Kay. In fact, I said this on the air a few months ago. I thought it was disrespectful to him, to Paul O'Neill, to David Cohn, to even Ryan Rucco, who does some of the games, to take opening day away from them. I said that on the air.
Right.
So I'll say it again. So I don't know how that would be a troll when I'm actually defending that they should have been calling this game.
Mm.
And all I am saying is that while listening to the game, because Buck didn't go into detail, oh yeah, Michael's great. Sorry, Mike, I took your job today. Because he made no mention of it, it came across like a troll job. So
even though it wasn't.
Even if it was wasn't. Yes, I agree. Even if it wasn't, it came across like a troll. So you guys are 0-for-1 and trying to create me as a troll.
No, now, I'm just going to say good try.
Yeah, good try. Now flip back. The real story there is you're right. Michael Kay couldn't call the game. Joe Buck comes out to call the game. It's so crazy, Tiki, because I would think the big brother in New York playing a dynasty team in the Astros, that should be the game that Joe Buck and company was sent to.
I said nothing.
Isn't that crazy?
That is insane. I mean, you got the unbelievable highest paid player in the history of professional sports, Juan Soto. Why are they not on
here? So here's what
the
I
Yankees
learned.
Versus the Brewers? That was the big national.
Here's what I learned in the last 15
minutes.
That's
versus the Astros?
I can be my same IBO, bring up something that literally has nothing to do with the Mets.
Controlled environment down there in Houston, so there's no chance for a rainout, so Buck is definitely going to be on it. They still wanted the Yankees.
So let me get back to you trolls. So I do my IBO thing, may disagree with my opinion on the Joe Buck Hall, totally fine. And somehow,
it's factually stated that they talked about it.
And I'm factually telling you that as an audience member, when you don't hear a reference to him, it comes across like a troll. And somehow that has to do with the Mets. Boy, this is going to be a fun baseball season.
Something perfect about Evan making this argument he's dead wrong in wearing a Yankee L. I mean, it's so perfect.
I am wearing a Yankee L, by the way, if you're just tuning in. We're not on TV yet, so you may not see it, so we'll describe it. It is a Yankee L because around these parts on this radio show, we hold everybody accountable. Mm-hmm. And for a month and a half, I kept coming into a microphone saying that Evan Roberts' brain was reporting that Nolan Arenado would be the opening day third baseman for the New York Yankees. I truly believed it.
Mm-hmm.
I used my brain. I was dead wrong, and I deserve an L.
Especially when you take a definitive stance
and
you repeat it over and over and over and over again. Yeah. That's why Sean Morash had to wear the L for a month, because it was 4 months of him killing the Eagles.
But I do want
on Saquon Barkley. And me talking into a microphone.
Yes.
Make that clear. Yeah.
Yes. But what I did differently than Sean, and I hope that you, Tiki, can learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that Tommy can learn from it.
I hope that Sean
can learn from it. I went on my own without anyone reminding you at the beginning of this show.
That's a good point.
And I took the L, and I had to remind you guys.
You're an honorable man.
I'm a very honorable man when it comes to these L's. Let's go to Charles in Allenhurst, New Jersey. What's up, Charles?
Yo, Evan Tiki, what's up?
All's good, dude.
What's up? What's up? So I heard the Tiki.
Yes.
You got any lottery numbers for me or anything? I mean, geez.
21.
Well, let me get my pad out and write this down.
Throw a 20 in there for Rondé, and that's about it.
Evan, I was watching the game yesterday, and like you, I did watch your Rico to kind of calm me down from the anger. And it wasn't anger because I think this is what the Mets were going to be for the whole year. I thought it was more, it was just such a frustrating game to watch. Like, they had guys on base in a lot of the innings, and Mark Vientos was hitting balls on the ground and they weren't getting anything going. It was just, this guy gets on base. And then, like, I know you were talking about this in the Rico, with Torrens, it's not really his fault getting thrown out of third because the backstops and all these new ballparks are weird. But it was more about, and I do agree with you, I disagree with Tiki on this. I understand that the slider on 3-0 was an easy, like, it was right down the middle and it should have been hittable.
Right.
But in a baseball player's mindset, if you're going to swing 3-0, especially in a situation like that in the ninth inning, it's fastball or nothing.
Yeah.
So Josh Hader flipping in a slider and getting it in the zone actually is great execution by him. You just got to tip your cap. Like, that's really
I think on that 3-0 pitch, definitely. And that was the point I was trying to make, Tiki. Like, I think at 3-0, he's open to swing, but it's got to be perfect.
I know what you're saying, but think about Josh Hader. Because I didn't play baseball growing up. I stopped, started running track. Didn't really get into baseball until BT became my partner. Met some of the Yankees, etc. And so the rules, put those in quotes, the rules of baseball, you're down 3-0 as a pitcher, throw him something off speed because he's expecting a fastball. Can't you? That's just stealing a strike. Right? To me, that is the most opportunistic time for a batter up 3-0 to take a swat, right? And maybe you're not getting a fastball. Maybe you have to sit back on it, keep your hands back, but still, take it the other way. Do something
else. But if you don't get the perfect pitch, like Juan didn't, even though it was a strike.
Either way, it's going to be a strike.
I know, but you're still in a great spot 3-1. Mm. You're still in a great hitter spot. Like, I don't have an issue with it.
Yeah, and but now you put the control into the pitchers.
Into not really. He could have taken 3-1. He would have been on base, and Pete would have been set up in a big spot.
I think he was frustrated by the strike.
Well, he can't be, and Juan usually isn't. Like, that's the great part about watching Juan Soto over all these years, whether it was the year with the Yankees, but even before that in Washington mostly, He doesn't get frustrated. Mm-hmm. He just battles you, and he lost the battle. And I think our last caller put it best. I'm not worried. I'm not panicking. But it is okay as a sports fan to be angry when your team loses. That doesn't mean you're worried. It doesn't mean you think the team stinks. But it's okay to say, hey, that sucked.
Right.
Because think about what you felt when Soto came to the plate in that situation. Think about the way the whole inning went.
Mm-hmm.
They're down 3-0. They're lifeless the whole day. And Marte and Taylor, you're talking about things that don't get enough credit. They were behind Josh Hader, and they got base hits.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Right.
Okay? So they're set up in this wonderful situation. And Hayden Senga really had no shot, whatever. But you had Lindor and Soto in this incredible situation.
Yeah, with one out.
And we're all envisioning, let's be honest,
right.
We're envisioning great things. Like, the negative Met fan was almost dead that day yesterday. We're all thinking positively. We're all you, Tommy. We're all positive, Tommy. We all thought it was going to end well. And even Lindor, he just missed it. Okay, mm-hmm. Here comes Soto. And when it doesn't end well and your hopes are so high, it is only human to be disappointed.
No, I mean, disappointed.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing is wrong with that at all. But it's why what we started our show with an hour and 35 minutes ago, you can rewind on the Odyssey app, is the troll of Juan Soto with the Mets, because he sat with the bat on his shoulder for four pitches and then took two bad swings. That's just facts.
That's exactly what happened. Let's go to Rob in Woodland Park. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
So, I was at the game yesterday, and Evan, I got to agree with you. Joe Buck was totally trolling Michael Kay. And the reason why I say that, I was sitting there with my 17-year-old and my 15-year-old, and my 15-year-old son, who's going to be sitting in your chair one day doing your job. I'm telling you, he's a crazy sports nut like you, Evan. He turned to me right away as soon as the home run was hit. He goes, I got to hear the call, what Joe Buck said. He goes, Dad, he said, see ya. He goes, that was a knock to Michael Kay. And I'm sitting there going, do I agree with him, or do I kind of say, well, maybe he's trying to honor Michael Kay, but agree with you totally, Evan.
But here's what Tiki and Sean are missing, because they want to provide backstories, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I really do. And they said, hey, they spoke about it publicly. No one actually heard it, but we've heard about it now, that he said he was going to do it.
Okay.
I'm not denying that. I'm saying the perception of people watching was going to be that it was a negative remark. And our last caller, Yankee fan at Yankee Stadium, his son agreed. So I don't understand how you can even argue with that.
But don't facts change your understanding of history?
Most people don't have those facts.
So shouldn't we be giving it to them instead of saying
we are giving these people facts.
And what am I saying?
The even New with York sports fan listens to afternoon. Evan and Tiki on the fan, 2 to 6:30 p.m., 6:20, whatever, 2 p.m. But you know what I mean? They're
unless we're in the World Series.
We are here, exactly. Close to 8. We are giving you the information so that you can now have a true and accurate understanding
moment,
of what's going on. That's why you listen to this show.
Okay, well, we're given the facts. Great. You still, it came across like a troll.
Okay,
Evan, Joe Buck should have said something.
I will concede. Yes, it came across as a troll, Evan.
I win.
Will you also concede it was not a troll?
No, it was not a troll.
Thank you.
It came across
like
a
troll. I win.
You want to troll Joe Buck a little bit? You know what? I like Michael Kay. I'm going to troll Joe Buck.
Go ahead.
Hey, Tommy, can you pull up Joe Buck's home run call of the Anthony Volpe home run? I bet you he screwed the pooch on that one, because Joe Buck hasn't watched a baseball game in 5 years and forgot that Yankee Stadium in right field, you can hit a little pop-up and it gets out. I guarantee you, Joe Buck screwed it up. So, let's troll Joe Buck now.
Here's a pop fly into right, back at the track. This ball will carry and go.
Nicely done, Evan. Nicely done.
Now, I have a choice right now. I don't know what to do with this choice. Mm-hmm. We just trolled Joe Buck.
You got to do it. Just facts. You got to throw the facts
out. All right. Well, Dave Sims also struggled a little bit with the Anthony Volpe home run. We love you, Dave.
1-1 pitch. Jammed him. Hits it to right field. That's a good jam shot. It's on the track. Looking up. It's gone. Oh, my goodness. Up the middle of the bat. Anthony Volpe muscles one out. And the Yankees have a 2-0 lead. I thought that was just an old-fashioned jam shot. It tells you how strong that kid is.
I mean, at least he corrected it.
He did. Dave corrected himself. And I'm going to defend Dave and Joe Buck, I guess. Dave Sims is used to calling games in Yosemite Park. Like, that stadium in Seattle is not even fair.
Yeah.
So to now call games at Yankee Stadium, you're not used to it.
Right.
But there's a third call we should listen to, because I always get a kick out of this. The visiting team. They usually get very bitter when there's a cheap home run. So let's take a listen to the Milwaukee Brewers radio call of the Anthony Volpe jam shot slash little pop-up.
1-1. Fly ball to right. Back goes Frelick. He's onto the warning track. Frelick looking. It's gone. Another Yankee Stadium pop-up homer.
That's actually the best one.
Yeah.
It's because it's perfectly accurate to what's going on.
It was so well described, and then the anger and disgust in his voice.
Another Yankee Stadium pop-up home run.
And yet not a single Brewer could pop one up there. Interesting. Yeah,
yeah. Well, the Brewers did hit a home run, and that one was a bomb.
Like, yeah, it hadn't landed yet.
Yeah. That home run was a shot.
I wouldn't have been out of some parks. Yeah. What was it?
No, I think it was 29 out of 30.
No, what was it from?
From Major League.
What did he say?
I forgot. Yellowstone. I think it was Yellowstone. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, like Yellowstone.
Which I already used. That's, of course, the great and late Bob Uecker who had that call.
Yes.
Yeah, the home run the Brewers hit would have been out of every park but one. The home run that Wells hit would have been out of none except for like two. And the Volpe home run was an exclusive Yankee Stadium home run. And by the way, this conversation is not a troll. You got to take advantage of the ballpark.
100%.
I find it funny that the Brewer announcer got so pissy about it. And Dave's going to get used to it. I mean, think about it. Dave Sims went from calling games in a ballpark that literally is referred to as the Coors Field for pitchers. It's such an unfair park in terms of the advantages. Yeah. And now it's Yankee Stadium where we see what can happen. Fly balls to right field. Everything can change. Let's go to Eric in Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Dinky, what's happening, guys?
Oh, it's good, dude.
Dude, that call, I actually thought Sims did a really good job yesterday, but it did seem like he was struggling to see the ball a little bit. The home run calls were one, but there were a few others where it seemed like, you know, balls in play where he wasn't necessarily catching it as well. And I think you're right, Evan. Calling in Seattle and calling in Yankee Stadium are very, very different. He'll get used to it, and I'm sure it'll be great. But I called because, you know, early on in the show, you guys were talking about the Soto effect, and I completely agree. My brother, and I think I told you guys before, I'm a twin. So I have a twin brother who's a Mets fan. I'm a Yankees fan, and that's just how it goes.
What
and, Tiki, you get it.
What the hell?
Yeah,
going?
Well, it's an inherent competition, right?
Are you guys identical?
We are identical, yes.
Wow.
He's 5 minutes older than I am.
How does that happen?
So, well, it's funny. He's a Giants fan. He's obviously a huge Tiki fan, which is to say, that I'm not. But he's a Giants fan. I'm a Jets fan. He's a Mets fan. I'm a Yankees fan.
How does all that happen? You guys just hate each other?
Well, it was one of those things where we were so close, everything else was the same. So, you know, I grew up going to, you know, to Mets games. My father was kind of a bit of both. And we just wanted something to be different. I think it was inherent competition growing up.
Right. It's intentional. That's kind of cool then.
Yeah, and it's stuck, you know, ever since. And I would say this, I'm not necessarily one of those Mets haters. I've never been and you know, been fortunate as a Yankees fan because I know what it's like as a Jets fan to be on the losing end. So, you know, I don't usually pick up the phone or shoot him a text and troll him at all with the Mets, but the Soto effect is real. So last night, of course, I had to take the opportunity because it was too perfect to text him, you know, two things, which was one that, you know, obviously it's 1-0, you know, as far as the competition now. And like, you know, last year it was cute. The Mets were cute. Their season was cute. Now that you've got Soto, it's a different animal.
No,
you guys
are
at the big boy table, Eric, so you got to expect it.
Eric, this is what I'm talking about, Teak. This is the new relationship
I'm
that we have.
You, it's the Soto effect. What Tommy was trying to say was a reverse big brother thing.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with that. It is only because of Juan Soto.
Right. The Juan Soto thing has changed the dynamic. And so when you sit down tonight, if you do sit down tonight to watch the Met game, because it is on Apple TV Plus.
Right. And if you don't, go over to your friend's house, make sure you bring a bottle of wine and watch it at their Apple Plus.
Or, I got a better idea.
What's that?
You can turn on the Odyssey Mets radio now.
Ah.
And listen to the great Howie Rose and Keith Redd call the game.
Fantastic idea. And
but,
have the bottle of wine in your own house.
There
by
you
yourself.
Go. That's right. And you can use your mind to create what everything looks like.
That's a beautiful thing.
Of course.
Listening to baseball on radio.
But if Juan Soto has a tough day, we're going to hear crap again.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the reality of the world we live in. In fact, here's how bad the relationship has gotten. You know Nick Turturro?
Yes.
Wonderful actor?
Yes.
Nick Turturro is a great Yankee fan, and he's become, I don't want to say he's become famous because he's a famous actor, but he's at another level of his fame because he records Yankee videos. And he never cared about the Mets. Never cares about the Mets. It's all Yankee videos. Last night, Nick Totoro recorded Soto video.
No, he didn't.
You want to take a listen?
Let's listen
Here
to it.
Here it is, Nick Totoro on Juan Soto.
Soto chased ball four. Why? Good question. Maybe it's the Maloiki. Never see Soto chase ball four like that. Wow. He had a chance to be the hero. Little karma, huh, Juan? Yeah.
Now,
I love his kid in the background. He chased ball four.
Why? Yeah, why? I don't know either. I'm trying to figure that out too, kid. But here's Nick Totoro. He wasn't screaming.
No.
Didn't drop any F-bombs. But this is going to continue. If this guy's dropping videos because Juan Soto struck out in game one of 162, you know what's coming.
This is going to be a fun season.
Yeah, it's going to be great. That's why I'm leaving the country when the Yankees come to Citi Field back in the middle of July. Literally. I'm leaving the country. And now my news story is I'm leaving the country because of that. Yeah. Has nothing to do with my wife saying you got to better take me to Europe.
Can I go instead?
Where, to Europe?
No.
Or to the game?
I'm already going to Europe, but not the same time.
What do you want, my med tickets?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Now, you've lost them today.
What?
You've been trolling me back.
That's fine. I'll call Jamie and go to the Cadillac Club.
Exactly. I'll take those tickets.
Yeah, we'll come with you.
I'm not offering it to you, Tommy. Why I don't know who the hell I'm offering it to. Maybe I'll offer it to Ozzy and Woodridge. What's up, Ozzy?
Thanks, Evan. I'll hold you to that. But
no,
an
don't.
Offer is not a... Yeah. Yankee Stadium, where pop-ups go out and right, and they get dropped in center.
You're funny. Ha, 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 ha.
Good.
Thank you, Deke.
You're
welcome. You guys were debating earlier this week on whether Yankee fans were going to boo Soto on May 16th, his first day back in the burning Bronx.
Oh, thanks for reminding
me. Ozzy,
thanks for reminding me. Gosh. We're not going to boo Juan Soto. What we're going to do is stand up, turn around, and ignore him with silence.
Yeah, no shot, bro.
Yeah.
You heard that, Yankee fans. Stand up, turn around, face the back of the stadium, and ignore him with silence.
Yeah.
That is your PSA for Monday.
Good luck with that, team.
Like he couldn't ignore that last pitch.
Yeah. Sean, that Bronx is burning like they all have Soto syphilis. Who are you kidding? All yesterday proved with the strikeout trolling and the sellout jersey. Yankee fans are boo-hooing, as they have been since December 11, 2024, and will continue to boo-hoo for the next decade and beyond. Even on opening day, the biggest story was a guy wearing a sellout jersey out of Soto's name. Soto is omnipresent in that fake Yankee stadium.
We love Who's Soto.
Ozzy, can I just ask you a quick question, Oz?
Yeah, but really
You gave away the date that Juan Soto signed with the Mets. Can you give me that date again?
I'm not, because you're up to something.
Don't
so
mess
just
up
go
piece.
For the punchline.
No, don't mess it. No, this no. Off.
The guy writes a script when he calls in. Do not throw him off his script.
I believe the date was something like December 11th. Do you know since that moment Juan Soto left the Yankees have not lost the game that counts?
Well, check this out. We all know in the Bronx, who's your daddy? Juan Soto. And Evan, your initial tweet, which might have started this whole thing?
Yeah.
Soto does own in the Bronx, in all of Yankee fans' heads. Right. He's in there, and he owns real estate, and they all know it.
I mean, it's a fair point, which is why I appreciate that Tiki has used the bully bullpen every day this week to remind Yankee fans that they shouldn't boo Juan Soto upon his return. But I think even you know deep down, Tiki, there's no shot that's happening.
I'm going to keep saying it every day.
I understand.
And as I become increasingly more the voice of New York baseball in this town.
I mean, it's chaos.
You guys don't know what the heck is going on. Yet I, somehow the football player from 20 years ago, can predict a leadoff home run from the brand new leadoff hitter, the only catcher in Yankees history, 27 championship history, to lead off a game. Hits a home run, and I called it.
You're going to hold that over our heads forever, aren't you?
Of course I am.
Hashtag Mr. Baseball.
Right. And don't let Mark Vientos hit the first one for the Mets.
I know. If that, we actually have to root against Vientos hitting the first Met home run. Otherwise, Tiki's head's going to go through the roof.
That's right.
More of your calls coming up, 888-808-1019.